Oh my goodness, guys. It's been so long. I'm so sorry. But you are listening to, what are you listening to? The Fuck It Diet Radio. I was gonna say Fucketeer Radio, which actually sounds pretty great. It's possible that I'll be going for a name brand change. But you're listening to the Fuck It Diet Radio. I am your host, Caroline Dooner, and we are here to give you all the tools and inspiration you need to change your relationship with food and your body. And it is a long journey. But today I am going to be sharing a interview. Nope, an interview. I'm going to be sharing an interview that I did with Anastasia Amore. I called her Anastasia the entire interview, but that is not how she pronounces her name. She says she doesn't mind, but her name is Anastasia. And she is an amazing body image blogger and Instagrammer and teacher. And she has a book called Inside Out that is all about body image and claiming your worth. And she is a truly amazing and wonderful inspiration. And I'm super excited to have this conversation with her. Well, I had the conversation with her. I'm super excited to share this conversation with you that I had with her. So before I play it, I just want to remind you that yes, I am being kind of slow with my releases of this podcast, but if you are interested in helping me support this podcast and potentially be able to spend more time and energy on it, you can help support the podcast at patreon.com/CarolineDooner, patreon.com/CarolineDooner. That would be so appreciated, but if not, reviewing it and rating it on iTunes is also super helpful to get it in front of other people. And the other thing that I just want to let you know is that right now, just if you're listening in real time when I release this, it's October 22nd, 2016. And I currently am letting people know that I'm going to be increasing the price of the first month of Fucketeer Academy in a couple weeks. And I will update as I know exactly when, but basically, I'm going to be upping it to $50 for the first month because there are so many things that I give you in the first month. And then every month after that will be $45, just like it is right now. But right now, the first month is still $35. And you get lots and lots of content. You get the Food Ease course to your email. You learn how to release limiting beliefs. There's all this live support, live Q&As, the archive of all the live Q&As from all the past months. We have intention setting at the beginning of the month, monthly themes. And of course, if you're just doing the first month, you'll get the current theme, and maybe even the theme after it, because it is your, like if you join halfway through the month, essentially you get two themes. You get the Like you would get the October theme right now, and when it turned November, you would get the November theme, and then your personal month would end 30 days from now. So, anywho, if you are interested in experiencing Fucketeer Academy, which is the monthly membership program that I run that is all dealing with the mental and emotional side of this Fuck a Diet journey, which is basically, I focus a lot on limiting beliefs and helping you release those limiting beliefs and find those limiting beliefs. Please join now because it's $35 for another couple weeks before I up it. What I'm going to be doing in a couple weeks as well when I up the price is I'm going to be offering a one-off package deal for people who are resistant or not excited about joining a monthly membership site, which I totally understand. A monthly membership program, not site. But it is on my site. I'm going to be offering basically a package where I teach you all the tools that I teach you in the first month of Fucketeer Academy, but it's just a one-time fee, and that's going to be $60. And you don't get all of the live support and all the changing content, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm definitely, I'm purposely making the incentive to join Fucketeer Academy because I love that community aspect of it. Came in downstairs. God damn it. Do you hear this madness? Do you hear that? They're so loud. But guys, I might be moving. I'm like sort of buying a house right now in a negotiation place. Okay. All right, they went into their apartment. Ugh. Okay, back to what I was saying. Basically, I have an incentive for you to join Fucketeer Academy. That's what I would love for you guys to experience. But if you are resistant to that, totally get it. You get all the tools, one-time fee, lots of bonuses, teaching you lots of stuff. I will be updating about that in the next month through email. So, you know, stay tuned. It's not available yet, but what is available is the cheap first month of Fucketeer Academy. So if you're interested, please join us, thefucketdiet.com/fucketeer. And if not, just sit back, relax, and enjoy Anastasia Amore's amazing interview. Today I have Anastasia Amore. Is it Amore?
Yes, it's Amore.
Amore, okay. On the podcast, and I'm really, really excited. I wrote to her like 6 months ago, and she was taking off for a really long time to get married, which is so exciting to me because I'm all about rest these days, and I really love that you took that time for yourself. It makes me really happy. So I'm really excited that you did that, and I'm really excited that you're here now on the podcast.
I'm so excited to talk to you, and it was really good taking some time off, and now I'm invigorated and rejuvenated and ready to get stuck into things.
Exactly. That's how it works, guys. You have to take time off. You have to take time for yourself.
So
I just want to start by asking you, you are a body positive goddess, essentially. And I want to know, if you guys don't follow her on Instagram and haven't read her book, please do so. But I want to ask you now, how did you get into this work?
I got into this work out of a need for the person that I needed myself to be and someone that I wish had taught me these things. Coming from my background, being very overweight as a child and being heavily bullied and then slipping into anorexia for a really, really long time and then being really stupid about my recovery and attempting to do it myself because I was so petrified to seek help. So I was doing all this research, doing all this work on body acceptance and self-love and trying to find all these resources. And from what I could find out there at that time, there wasn't anyone that was telling me what I needed to hear. There were, you know, really, really scientific and quite clinical explanations of self-love and acceptance and mental health, and that just didn't resonate with me at the time. And then there were some quote-unquote gurus talking about self-love, but they were talking about it in a really, really fluffy way, as if, you know, take a bubble bath and put some rose petals down and then just smile at yourself in the mirror and then take three breaths and you'll magically feel okay. And I'm doing that stuff and I'm thinking, well, you know, shit, I still have a mental illness and now I'm just, you know, kind of prudy and wet, so that's not really helping me. So I was doing all that work, and then the more I delved into it, the more I realized that I wanted there to be a middle ground where, you know, mental health information was presented in a way that was accessible, still really fun to do, but still made a difference. So the more work I did on that, the more I started finding people that aligned with my journey and what I wanted to hear. Body positive activists really changed my life when I started following those on Instagram and Facebook and seeking out their website and amazing podcasts like yours, which I didn't discover until much later, unfortunately. But following the right sort of people who were presenting self-love in a way that made sense and wasn't all fluffy, woo-woo, no substance, really changed things for me. And the more I got into that, the more I wanted to help people with their own journeys. And it kind of evolved from there.
That's so awesome. And I really, truly think it's hilarious that you bring up this bath idea, because I feel the exact same way. And I've brought it up a couple of times that, like, I feel like I heard so many times, like, just take a bath and you'll know you love yourself. And I was like, ugh, I hate baths. Like, it was like the last thing. And I've actually heard that from a couple people too, being like, oh, I was always told to like spray perfume on myself and take a bath so I would know that I loved myself. And I'm cracking up that we're all kind of having this same reaction over here. Like, oh, that's going to work? Is this really going to work?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it can work for some people. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I do love a good bubble bath, but that in itself isn't enough for most people. And you're right, it's really hilarious because the amount of people that I talk to who send me an email or send me a message and they're like, "So I did some dancing in my living room and I took a bath and I put on an outfit and I still feel awful about myself. Why isn't it working?" And I'm like, "Well, that's not really the full picture of what you need to be doing." And it's so hilarious.
Right. It's a one little sliver of the self-care piece, but it's a little like hollow if it's not backed up by
Exactly.
bigger or I think deeper changes in the subconscious and what we've learned about ourselves.
Yeah,
So, what was your personal biggest turning point in your relationship with food first? I mean, and it was probably very much also intertwined with body as well, but what was that turning point for you?
with food specifically, it really tied into overall self-acceptance because I mean, these things are so deeply connected. But for most of my life, I'd used food as a punishment and reward system. And in order to stop viewing it like that, I needed to understand that I didn't have to punish myself for anything and that I was inherently deserving of eating as a human being with, biological needs and the need to stay alive. So
How
realizing that.
crazy of us! How crazy of us!
I mean, it sounds so simple and so logical, but for so long, I mean, I just had these really backwards ideas that I didn't deserve to eat because I was once overweight, or I didn't deserve to eat because I was now thin and I needed to stay that way, or I didn't deserve to eat because I wasn't smart enough, or I wasn't pretty enough, or some stupid guy made a comment about my body, so therefore I should punish myself so I could be better for them. Just all these really backwards ideas, and it actually took quite a long time before my relationship with food got to a place of any sort of stability. That was one of the last pieces of the puzzle to fall into place. Like I started finding self-acceptance and I started finding self-love and understanding more about my journey and why I feel the way that I do. But food was really one of the last pieces of the puzzle to fall into place.
That makes a lot of sense for me because for everyone I've ever worked with and for myself also, the food peace rests so much and so heavily on our relationship with our body and our willingness to trust our body and to let it be whatever size it needs to be. And as long as there's resistance there to our body and a fear of our body, it's really hard to eat normally because we've tied them so closely together. The controlling of our food is really, whether we're aware of it or not, underneath, it's this deep fear of losing control of our bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. And that whole illusion of control can become so deeply ingrained. And I mean, when you've been stuck in that pattern for so long of thinking that you can't trust your body and your body doesn't know what it needs and that your mind knows best and that you're controlling it, you're really totally out of control and you're attempting to self-medicate that fear and that crippling terror of what will happen if you let go by controlling, quote unquote, your food behavior, and that's the last thing that you want to do in that situation.
Yeah, it really just backfires.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you had to, this might be a hard question actually, so we'll just go with it. But if you had to really distill your message into maybe 3 points, what do you think? And if you can mess this up, you can like we can make it longer or whatever. But just as like a point of focus, like well, I guess what are the 3 biggest things that you've learned about body acceptance that you like to share?
Okay, this is going to be hard to distill into three, but
Well,
I'm going to
you
give it
can honestly, you can go on as long as you want. You
Okay.
can make it as many as you want.
Okay, let me think. Well, I think the biggest theme that ties into however many points I would choose is that worth is inherent and that it's something that we all have inside of us. And I think that's a really big point because it ties into themes of trusting your body or trying to control your body or self-harm and punishment and all these things that we can become mixed up in. We need to understand first and foremost that we are worthy of loving ourselves. We are worthy of eating good food that's good for our body. We are worthy of eating delicious food that's good for our soul. We are worthy of moving our bodies and getting rid of people in our lives that bring us down or who serve to make us unhappy with ourselves. We need to understand that our worth is unconditional. It's not something that magically appears when we drop 5 pounds or when we, you know, meet whatever arbitrary goals we're setting for ourselves. Even if we're not healthy or not in a good relationship or not mentally stable, at all times we are worthy of accepting ourselves and at least coming to a place of neutrality. If we can't come to self-love at that point, we are always worthy regardless of the circumstances. So that's one of the biggest points that my message really encompasses.
Yes, and it's so good and so important to say over and over for other people who hear it and then forget very quickly. So important.
And I think everything else really revolves around there because, I mean, the women that I work with and the things that I've learned in my own journey, they really do stem from those themes of worth and being afraid of your body, like you were saying earlier. So many of us are terrified of what happens if we just let go of this illusion of control. What happens if we just allow ourselves to be? And, I mean, as women, I think we're socialized to be constantly viewing ourselves as a work in progress, and that if we just allow ourselves to just be, well, then aren't we just stagnating, and how can we better ourselves, and we must constantly be in this journey of fixing something or improving something. And I think that message really, really confuses a lot of people because they feel that if they're not constantly working on getting better physically or, you know, making all these changes to their lives, they're just staying in the same place. And that's not necessarily true because, I mean, you can be making positive changes in your life that aren't necessarily fundamentally changing your life or changing you as a person, but they're still improving your overall quality of life and your overall wellness. And
yeah,
it's if you just allow yourself to just be, as simple as that might seem, that's really, really a game changer.
And that's something that we do not learn. I mean, this like focus on productivity and and proving, constantly having to prove ourselves. I mean, the idea that we don't need to be getting anywhere and that we will naturally evolve and learn and grow without pushing so hard is like alien to a lot of people's ears, you know, like it didn't even occur to us. And people are really resistant to that too. You know, I work with so many people who kind of, you know, cerebrally are kind of coming around to that, but are really, and it just brings up so all of their self-worth stuff, just to come right back to your biggest message. It really, you have to face all those fears about worth when, you know, trying to slow down, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's a really interesting point of body acceptance that most people kind of stop at, or they hit a plateau because they overcome the idea that they're in constant competition with other people or with other women, and then they instead internalize the message that, oh, it's okay, I'm in competition with myself, and they get stuck on that and they think, what if I'm not, you know, beating my personal best, or what if I'm not getting better every day, or if they relapse in a mental illness, or they take a step backwards, or they're just not feeling it one day, and that totally throws them. And I think that's where a lot of people get really, really stuck.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you really did, you know, the worth is inherent is such a beautiful message, and it really is at the core of your work and of all the body positive movement. I mean, that really is so important. Do you have any other, like, I guess we'll say, if that was number one, are there two other things that you find yourself wanting to share? I know that there are so many more than that.
So huge. Another one that really I focus on a lot with, and I've been focusing on it a lot, particularly this week with people that I'm working with. I'm not sure if it's something in the air, but the idea that you need to feel some degree of pain to improve is something that's a really big issue for a lot of people. Like, you know, the whole idea that fashion is pain, or, you know, no sweat, no payoff if you're working out. And I think women in particular have this idea in their heads that if they're not struggling through something, or if they're not putting in the hard yards, or something isn't a challenge for them, then they're not benefiting. Mm-hmm. And as a result, their self-care tactics are often kind of like punishment in disguise. Like, they're working out because they want to love their body, but they're running and they hate running, or they've got all these streams of thoughts running through the back of their mind while they're doing these things, and it deepens their issues around worth. And people need to be aware that they are allowed to find enjoyment in self-love. It's not always going to be an easy journey, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be this mammoth mountain climb where everything is pure struggle and you're hating every moment of it, just trying to find something positive at the end. It's allowed to be fun, and you're allowed to find enjoyment in your life. And that is a really big thing that a lot of women that I work with struggle with, because they can't fathom that it's possible to do something that they enjoy and have it be good for them on a mental level or on a physical level or on a holistic level at all. So finding enjoyment in things is really, really crucial. And the more you enjoy things, the more you're likely to stick with them. So at the same time, if you're trying to do something that you find awful or excruciating and cram it into a box that will result in self-love, you're probably not going to stick with it just because you hate it. So it's finding enjoyment is a really, really important part of it.
Yes, I love that. I also, I started teaching that doing things just for the pure joy of it fills like a joy well inside of you that allows, it's kind of like oil for your emotional gears. It helps you, you know, it really does. It feels like we've learned that fun is pointless, you know, but it actually helps everything feel better when you're kind of filling that need that we have to enjoy.
Yeah, that's a really, really good analogy. I really, really like that. And it kind of ties on to other themes as well, in terms of doing the mental work as well as doing any physical work, in that it's, you need to view it as not a necessary evil. Like, a lot of people are scared to go to therapy, or they're scared to seek coaching because they think, oh, it's just something that I have to do. But if you start to view it as something enjoyable, or something that's, you know, oil for your mental gears or oil for your emotional gears, like you said, you can make it a much more sustainable part of your routine in a much better way.
Yeah, and it's this interesting thing. I teach about, you know, following what feels good too, and allowing that, and actually allowing that to be part of your intuition and part of your being able to tell what's in alignment for you and what's not. And then I feel like I have to clarify, you know, because I really do, I believe exactly what you're saying, that things are supposed to feel good. We're allowed to seek that, you know. But then there's this other, the only time when I feel like I have to mention the opposite is when we're talking about the avoidance of emotions. And that's the only thing where I feel like I need to teach people to lean into that scary, like the what we resist inside. Yeah. And there's that fear of, you know, if we let ourselves feel that, like, fear or sadness or whatever we didn't process, that it's going to last forever. And there's this fear that, like, the pain is going to swallow them up. I'm only saying this because I feel like I'm always having to explain, well, things should feel good. Things are allowed to feel good. However, things are also able to not feel good, and letting it pass and just letting yourself feel it is the best way to kind of get to the other side of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a really, really important point. And I think, I mean, a lot of people struggle with that point, but women in particular as well. I think a lot of women feel that they shouldn't dwell on those negative thoughts, or they don't allow themselves to feel that pain or feel that sadness, because they put themselves last and they want to serve other people around them first. And they feel that as a woman, they are not allowed to dwell on the negative because, you know, that's not attractive or that's not a woman, not what a woman should be. And then we get all these connotations of shoulds and shouldn'ts, and it just, it really, really messes up people's ability to just be and allow themselves to just feel. And that's a super, super important point.
Yes. So have you, I mean, obviously back in your past, it was probably hard to be good with self-care, but did self-care and, like, for instance, I'm going to go to the one example that I keep dwelling on, but you're taking time to really enjoy your life and take time off and get married and just, like, give yourself that space. Did it happen at the exact same time as your body journey, or did it happen at a different time? It's a very similar journey, but I feel like for me, for instance, that part that I'm kind of trying to apply now, this self-care, this resting, this space, making space, is like happening a couple years after my food body epiphany, where I'm like, oh my God, there's so much more. How did that happen for you? Did it happen all at the same time? Was it a slow process?
It's still happening for me. It's one of the pieces that I'm still trying to make sure I implement in my life. And I mean, there are various times where I get it and I really prioritize making time for myself. And then there are other times where I really, really struggle with it. And I'm a bit of a workaholic and I like to just push through. And sometimes I really just have to put myself in a timeout and go, no, you need to rest. This is not good for you. So it's definitely come later in the journey for me as well. And it's something that I'm still working on. It's probably my biggest issue or my biggest component of self-love that I'm still working on quite intensively on an ongoing basis. And I'm in a really, really good place with it right now, which is really, really good. And I mean, it's funny because for me, I find it takes a significant amount of stress or some really, really negative events to kind of kick my butt and make me go, whoa, okay, I need to take a rest. This is too much for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to feel that and then translate that into positive action. But one of the biggest things I'm working on personally is allowing myself to say that I want to rest, or giving myself a day off, or allowing myself time to just do something purely for me, even if I'm in a really, really good mental place, or even if life isn't that stressful for me, allowing myself to actually take that time off. And it's been a pretty huge revelation for me, and it feels kind of like a cloud has been lifted, and it's like, wow, I'm actually allowed to do this, and the world keeps turning, and my work is still there, and nothing negative happens, and everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. It's really what I'm focusing on personally right now. And I have done this kind of like intense thing where I've said, okay, I'm going on 2 years of rest, and I'm like creating that container for this experience so I don't freak, like, the potential of being like, well, I'll never, like, I can't rest for the rest of my life. Which maybe I actually can, but we'll see. And I'm applying it in every way. I'm applying it personally, professionally, physically, emotionally, mentally, et cetera. But the funny thing is, you know, I'm letting myself be in the same place in 2 years that I am right now. I'm not forcing myself to be. I'm just letting myself, because I feel like for me and for other people, there's this fear of not making progress. There's this fear of being in the same place in a couple years from now. And I'm trying to very deliberately make that okay.
Yeah, and I love that.
I love That's it too. Real. I mean, it truly feels relieving. And of course, the old thoughts and the thought patterns come up, and then I'm able to remind myself of what I'm doing. But of course, because life happens, even though I'm not pushing and even though I'm so much less concerned with getting somewhere, things are still happening. You know, I'm actually now able to follow what feels good and what feels right. And if we're just going to talk like business and career wise, I'm doing all of the things that I want to be doing. And that is, it's been like a really interesting way of like of finding the things that I want to be doing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really, really awesome. And I think that's something that a lot of people can learn a lot from, and that idea that we constantly have to be pushing forward. Like, what if you just allow yourself to just sit in a space and things will still keep happening and you'll still keep growing, but you don't have to make it this deliberate effort. And that's a really, really nice headspace to be in.
Yeah, and it goes back to the control again, the illusion of control. We think we can control the trajectory, and we never really could. And whenever we were actually were controlling it is probably when it started to go off the rails.
Absolutely, yeah. It's I saw a post, an article from Sarah Vance last week. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about these themes of control and how it's, you know, control is often what brings upon this chaos, which we attempt to rein in by applying more control, which makes things chaotic, and it's just this vicious cycle.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I think that that's such an underlying theme of all the body and food stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so here are some questions that are going a little bit off on a tangent. But what I like to ask people, and maybe if you've listened, you've heard, is what would you never do again if you learned that you had 1 year to live?
I would never ever waste another second dealing with what I like to call toxic energy vampires, or people who just sap my strength to live, or people who are deliberately negative or malicious. Like, I feel like we've all got some of those people in our lives, and it's easy to say, okay, just get rid of all the toxic people in your lives, but sometimes they're family members or they're coworkers, and they have to be at least a little bit in your lives.
Right.
If it was an option, I would just run away from all that and not have them in my life for another second.
Awesome. That is an amazing, amazing answer. All right, my next question. Do you like grocery shopping?
No, I actually hate it.
Me too. I hate it.
Yeah, I like being in the grocery store, but not when I'm the one who has to choose the food. And that's mainly because I'm a terrible cook and I hate the pressure of having to cook. So in my house, my husband does all the cooking. He's a really, really good cook. He loves it, so it works out well. But whenever I'm in a grocery store and I'm forced to choose the food and I know I have to cook it, it just makes me so anxious.
Me too. I mean, I ask this question to people a lot and they're like, I love it. I love it so much. And I hate it. And I want to like it, you know. And the funny thing is when I dieted, I liked it a lot more because it was a control thing, you know.
That's it.
But now I'm like, oh my God, I'd rather do anything than cook. But you know what I started doing? I don't know if they have this in Australia, but are you in Australia?
I am, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just didn't want to misspeak.
Probably tell by the accent.
Yes, I know, but I can't tell the difference between an Australian and a New Zealand accent, so I was like, what if I said the wrong place? Okay. I started doing Instacart, which I don't know if they have that over there, but I live in Philadelphia right now, and it's a service that shops for you, so you just go on an app and you pick all the things you want, and I can pick anything I want from Whole Foods, and then they shop for me and they deliver it. And I have like actually have a stocked kitchen because of doing that. I am so much more willing to choose things. I get overwhelmed in the grocery store. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to want to eat later. It's very weird. But doing it on an app on my computer, I'm down.
I need to find something like that because, I mean, the overwhelm is so real. Like, it's just, and I don't like the layout of grocery shops, how they kind of deliberately guide you through a pathway so you buy all the expensive things you don't want at the end, and it's just, it's too much. So I might try an app like that. That sounds like really cool.
I hope one exists. I'm sure something like that exists. It's been really amazing. I've been using it for like 2 months and I am a convert and I willingly pay the delivery fee.
Yeah, I would pay the delivery fee. That sounds good.
Yeah. And actually I save a lot of time. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to look for that. I'm just going to write that down now because that is a really, really good idea. So thank you for that.
I highly recommend it. You're so welcome. Next question. What is your favorite color?
My favorite color is black. And for all the purists who say black is not a color, I don't care. It's my favorite and I love it. And it's always been my favorite color. And I never really grew out of my goth kid phase. So it's black forever for me.
Nice. Solid. I like it. What is your favorite dessert?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can answer this question, to be honest with you.
Yeah, wow. I'm such a sweet tooth. Like, out of sweet or savory, it's sweet for me every time. I'm gonna have to say chocolate because, I mean, a lot of my favorite desserts include some form of chocolate. So if I can kind of cheat a little bit and say chocolate as a broad category, I feel like that's a solid answer.
I will allow that. You can do
Excellent.
that. All right. So, what advice would you give to young Anastasia? I know that you're going to want to be able to talk to her for a couple hours, but say you just had a very small visitation and you could impart some wisdom onto her, what would you say?
I was actually thinking about this the other week, and it was a thought tangent that spanned a good couple of hours. So it's a big topic, but the theme that I kept coming back to was seek help. Don't feel like you have to do everything yourself. Don't feel like there's no one out there who can help you or that people are going to judge you. Seek help and seek help early for a range of things, not just body image, not just mental health, but really just anything in life that you feel stuck on or confused on, or you need some guidance from someone who has been there or someone who has a little bit of knowledge. Don't be afraid to do that and just get your head out of the sand and allow yourself to be helped. Just seek help and then allow yourself to actually listen to that help. That would be my biggest thing.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. And it's just going along that theme of us thinking that we need to do it all on our own, that we need to be amazing and to power through and not look weak.
I feel like
So,
that's the theme of the day.
yes, it's the theme of the day. I hope everyone listening can soak this in. You're allowed to ask for help. That's great.
I think really allowing yourself to be helped as well is an important part of it, because it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to seek help, and then you ask someone for some help, but then be receptive to what they have to say and be open to the idea that help might not look like what you think it will look like, or it might not be exactly what you want, but it's worth listening to and it's worth considering, even if that help seems outside of the realms of what you want it
Yeah,
to
I need to take that advice, I think.
be.
I really do. All right, do you drink coffee?
I do. I'm drinking a coffee right
Oh,
now.
yes, it's morning for you. It's so
Yep, it's
trippy.
8:30 in the morning for me, so I'm still waking up, but I have my cappuccino, which is my favorite coffee. I used to drink a lot of coffee actually, and I went kind of on a bit of a coffee bender where I drink a lot of it, and this was back in the early stages of my recovery where I thought, okay, I'll replace food with coffee and then I'm still getting calories. And that was just a totally backwards way of thinking, and I ended up totally wired and totally messing up the way my body functions with caffeine. So I went off coffee for a while, but now being back in a stable place, it's nice to just enjoy it as a drink. So I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I actually did a similar thing. I went off coffee last summer. It was just like intuitive adrenal thing. I was like, I just need to take a break. And it was actually really horrible. I don't know if you had a similar experience, but I was really tired and really anxious actually going off of caffeine.
Yep, me too. The withdrawals are intense. You don't realize how much it
No. It's
is.
bad. It was like one of the, they were really difficult months because of caffeine. It was kind of wild. But I, and then I really was okay without it. And then I was like, you know what? I love coffee. I love it. It makes me happy. And having a cup or two in the morning, and cappuccino is also my go-to. Going to a
Good.
cafe to write and to drink a cappuccino is genuinely one of my favorite activities. And so adding it back in has been a joy.
Yeah, I used to love going to cafes as well, but I had to stop because the prices of coffee in Australia, or everything in Australia, is just insane. Like, if I'm having two cups of coffee a day, I'm paying nearly $20 a day just to sit in a
Oh,
cafe.
really?
These are the prices of coffee in Australia. It's actually just, it's
Wait,
crazy, and they just
why?
keep going up. I know, and they charge you an extra dollar for soy milk, like a shot of soy milk, and it makes me angry. So I would rather stay home and just drink my regular cup of coffee that's not quite as nice as a cafe coffee, but, you know, a girl's got a budget, right?
Right. Oh, my God. I mean, I spend a lot of money in cafes now, too, and I'm kind of, I could rein that in a little, but that is crazy that it's so expensive in Australia.
Yeah, everything in Australia is super, super expensive. So that's, I mean, I love living here and it's a beautiful place to live, but it's really not friendly to my wallet.
I had a friend who lived in Australia for a year and she told me that and I forgot, but that's crazy. I'll have to visit and really budget for my visit. All right, here is a question. If you could live in any other time period, what time period would you choose?
That's an interesting one. I think I kind of want to go to the future, but not too far into the future. I would really like to fast forward like 20 to 50 years, see what's happening in terms of the progress that's being made of body positivity and all these social movements and, you know, race inclusivity and inclusivity of different types of bodies and abilities. I really want to see how that is turning out in a few decades from now, because I think that would be fascinating. And
it would be, and hopefully inspiring. Hopefully inspiring.
Yeah. I mean, I'm equal parts optimistic and a little bit frightened that it won't have changed all that much, but I mean, we got to keep trying, and yes, I hope that it improves in a really, really good way.
That is a fascinating answer, and I really, really like it. You know, the normal answer is like, I would go back to the Victorian era. But I like that one. Okay. If you had to have a pet that wasn't a cat or a dog or a bird or a fish, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me think about that for a second. I think I would choose a wolf. I really, really like wolves. I like what they embody. It's kind of like a big cat or dog, but it's...
I allow it.
That's good. Yeah. Or I'm thinking a sea turtle would be lovely as well, although realistically it's quite impractical, and I do not own a sea for it to live in. So I'm not sure of the logistics of that as a pet owner, but I really, really love animals that have a kind of a gentle strength about them, and they kind of just... they possess this character that's just kind of quietly knowing, and I really, really like that about their spirit. So one of those two, I think.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Oh, what other question do I want to ask you? Oh, okay. I think I know sort of what along the lines this answer will be, but if you became the supreme world ruler, what is the first thing that you would do and implement?
Ah, that's a really, really interesting one, actually. I would implement a really, really comprehensive mental health program in every school in the world, because, a lot of schools already have mental health programs, but it's often government funded, and, you know, there are funding cuts all over the place, and I think it needs to be separately governed, and it needs to be more comprehensive, and I think kids in particular need to be given greater access to people to talk to, so that they can feel open about sharing their thoughts. They need to be given greater resources of things they can do themselves beyond just, you know, don't bully other kids and tell your mum if someone's mean to you. Which is good, it's a start, but there needs to be more. And I would really hope that in doing so, there would be much, much better early diagnoses of mental health issues in children, so that they could seek the help that they need at a much earlier stage and improve the quality of their life exponentially.
Ah, I love it. I want to live in your world. I love it.
You can see it in my head now. I want to make that happen.
Yes, I love it. I love it. It's so important. Spring, summer, fall, or winter?
Winter forever. I'm like freakishly pale skinned. My ancestry is Scottish, so I am not at all suited to the very, very hot Australian climate. I get sunburned even in winter, so I'm perpetually covered in sunscreen. Definitely winter. I love the cold. I cannot stand hot weather.
I am so with you. I am so with you. I love the winter. I love wearing coats. I love walking around and getting my face cold. I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
I
I
would.
really, really,
Sorry,
oh, sorry.
continue, continue.
I really, really want to experience winter in the States or in Canada or somewhere where it actually snows, because here in my part of Australia, we don't get any snow and our winter doesn't really get as cold as I would like to be. So I really, really want to experience that in another
Oh,
country.
you have to. You have to. If you like winter, you need to. I love
Yeah.
winter. And I am always considering moving to Canada so it can be colder.
Reason.
I say I love fall because I really do love that changing of the weather. I love the feeling in the air. But I am also, so I think fall is my favorite, but I am also a very hardcore winter fan. I'm a winter fan for sure.
I love that because so many people really hate winter and they're, pro summer all the way. And summer's good, but winter doesn't get enough love. So I'm happy you're on the winter team too.
Yes, winter team. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't actually.
Oh, there's this like they the one of like the big slogans and like dramatic things that they say on the show is winter is coming. And it's
I've heard
because like their seasons are years long, so the
that.
winter like it's been summer for whatever, like not I don't know, a couple decades, and the winter is gonna like freeze them all. But I get so excited, I'm like, yes, I want winter to
Winter.
come.
That makes a lot more sense now that I know that, because I was like,
We hear it's like
what
winter's been
is
coming for so many seasons. How is this happening? I know.
Exactly.
Okay, desert island. You can
Okay.
bring, this is a really hard question, and I'm asking this question, and I don't even think I like the question, but we're gonna ask it anyway, and we can get creative with it.
Okay.
But desert island, you can bring one food to sustain you for a whole year before your rescue. What do you
Oh,
bring?
I have an instant answer for this already
Oh,
because I've
good.
thought about this. I bring gnocchi because, oh, and actually, no, I'm going to change that to ravioli.
Okay.
It's going to be ravioli with a tomato and basil sort of base. I need to think more carefully about the ingredients, but it's ravioli.
Awesome. That's so smart. And you know, when I first started asking this question, people were giving one ingredient answers because that's sort of how I was framing it. But as soon as people start, no, I like the direction you're going because it actually was depressing to me for people to be like, I guess peanut butter. Like, and it was just this like miserable like thought experiment. It's like it doesn't matter what you bring, you're gonna get sick of it.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
that's great. That's a great answer. What else? What is your favorite song right now? I won't make you sing it. I used to make people sing it, but I
Oh, you don't want to hear my singing voice.
won't.
I don't actually know. I haven't actually listened to any music in such a long time because my computer died last week with all my songs on it on Spotify. So I had no music
No.
last week. And now I'm like in this kind of music deficit. So I need to crank up Spotify again and listen to something because there's actually no music in my life right now, and that needs to change. So I can't actually answer that one right now.
It's all good. Anastasia, you are amazing, and I'm so glad. Guys, I like totally messed up truly a couple times our scheduling for this podcast. So I'm so glad that you didn't hold that against me and that you were here on the podcast. Is there anything else? Okay, here's my last question before I let you tell them where to find you. But my question is, what is the thing that you wish that people would just understand already? What is the thing that you feel like you have to repeat all of the time that you just really want people to be able to sink into?
Yeah, this is a really, really good one. A big thing that I find myself constantly answering and constantly letting people know is you don't have to agree with someone or you don't have to understand someone else's personal journey, particularly relating to body positivity, in order to show them compassion. And I feel like this is a big one, even amongst a lot of body positive activists, where if they see someone who they feel isn't embodying body positivity in a way that's beneficial to the community, they call that out. And that is important. It's important to address things that are misconceptions. but I think it's also really important to do so in a compassionate way, because at the end of the day, we don't know the full picture of what's going on in someone's life. We don't know what they're experiencing, the full story that's led them to where they are. I think as a base rule, if we apply compassion in every interaction we have, it just makes the world a much nicer place to be in. And that's a big one that I'm learning myself as well, particularly in dealing with like online trolls and people who leave nasty messages, to fly back with compassion and treat that as an opportunity to let them know why what they're saying is damaging, but also to let them know that their experiences are valid and that it's okay if they're experiencing pain and that they are allowed to heal from that pain without projecting it onto others. So being compassionate in everything that we do is a really, really big theme that I keep coming back to.
Anastasia, that, not the exact same application of it, but compassion for yourself is the thing that I feel like I always, like that's almost always part of the answer to someone's question that they're asking me. It's always, please add some compassion for yourself into this process. And that, like, that would be my answer to the question. So I'm amazed and excited that compassion is at the root of both of our answers there.
Compassion is huge and it's so important. And I think a lot of it does tie back to it. So it's a good one.
It's a good one. Thank you so much. Please tell my listeners where they can find you. I want them to find all your things.
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, anastasiaamore.com, or you can find me on Instagram. My username is anastasiaamore, funnily enough. I'm usually on Instagram more than Facebook. I do have a Facebook page, and you can search my name there as well, but Instagram is my favorite, and that's where I'm hanging out pretty much all day. So if you want to get in touch with me, give me a follow, drop me a message, send me an email from my website. Happy to chat to anyone.
Yay, and I've been pronouncing your name wrong, haven't I? Anastasia?
I go by Anastasia, but I don't mind Anastasia.
Are you sure?
I'm totally sure.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure.
You too. This was fun.
I think you're absolutely wonderful, and I'm so thankful that you took the time to do this.
Oh, likewise. I so respect the work that you're doing with people in the world and the positive vibes that you put out. And I love your attitude and it totally resonates with me. And I think you're awesome. So thank you for existing.
Thank you. Guys, that's a wrap. I have to go do my show that I'm in for one more day. And then I have 2 weeks of rest, and we'll see if I'll actually rest, because we're thick in the middle of the Become Your Own Damn Guru Intuition Intensive. We're doing Fucketeer Academy. There's really no rest, but you know what? It's all good stuff. I actually find running the Fucket Diet to be relatively restful compared to the other crazy stuff that I do. So thank you for listening to this. Thank you for being brave and awesome. Thank you for putting up with my rambling, because I have no script and you can tell I don't always know what the hell I'm saying. So thank you, and I will talk to you soon. And yes, I've stopped doing songs at the end of these, but maybe I'll start doing that again when I have a little bit of time and space and energy to breathe. Okay. All right. Goodbye, guys.